I think this scenario is a powerful lesson in risk mitigation amidst messy realities. It's a reminder that in GRC, this is all about finding a balance between ideal security measures and practical, implementable solutions. And this is more often an art than a science. Hey, this is Mark Graziano, and this is another segment of Something to Consider on the GRC podcast. My goal in these episodes is to give our listeners quick hits of insight where hopefully some simple thoughts can ignite a lot of innovation. Today's episode, we're going to dive into a realization that I think many of us in the GRC field have come to or will come to in our careers, sometimes painfully, and that's the practicality of risk management in the face of idealism. My realization came through the unsatisfying lens of PCI DSS compliance. When I got fed up with federal work and I transitioned into assessing companies in the private sector for PCI DSS compliance as a QSA, I was initially enthusiastic about the opportunity. However, over time, that dampened by a growing frustration. I just couldn't help but question the motives of the payment card brands. They had prescriptive control requirements, and they coupled those with threats of fines or noncompliance, or even complete revocation of the merchant's ability to process credit card transactions. And to me, that seemed more like a power play rather than a genuine effort to secure the data. It struck me as particularly ironic as well that these card brands demanded prescriptive security measures from their merchants and service providers, like password rotation or multi-factor authentication, yet the cornerstone of their own system, the credit card, had a static number and a static CVV, and it remained fundamentally insecure by not abiding by these same principles that they expected of their merchants. And it took me years to understand the nuanced reality behind these regulations. The card brands, while definitely not operating from a place of altruism, they were engaging in a form of risk management that, as much as it pains me to say, it was effective and pragmatic, considering the high cost of technology development and the potentially slow pace of adoption from new technology. The alternatives to PCI DSS compliance and the processes put in place by the PCI SSC would have been a complete overhaul of the entire payment system, which would have introduced a myriad of different complications and costs that likely would have exceeded the cost of the fraud that they were trying to mitigate in the first place. We have to consider different aspects and costs, such as the development of infrastructure and overhaul costs for the card brands and banks, and this would include things like research, security investments, and merchant support once it is rolled out. Implementation costs for merchant. They have to purchase new hardware, new software, and train their employees on how to use that. That takes time and it costs money. Adoption costs for consumers. Having to phase out their old, tried and true payment methods, procure new ones, and then having to deal with the learning curve of understanding how to apply these new technologies in their everyday life. There's also economic and social costs, like service disruptions for new processes. There will likely be some new things that merchants will have to deal with. There is also going to be friction added to the sales process as people try to understand this new technology and understand the processes, and this will likely lead to less sales. It's just a simple fact that when you introduce friction into a process, people who experience it may be more likely just to not continue. There's also an unintentional increase in the digital divide for people who are hesitant to adopt this type of new technology, which would leave them on a bit of an island when it comes to how they're going to spend their money to go about their day. There's also indirect costs as well, such as just ongoing maintenance and additional evolutionary costs that would be associated with adversarial threats and trends. Obviously, the thing that they put out is going to be tested by adversaries, and chances are that first iteration is going to need to be iterated upon. Now, this realization that the card brands weren't trying to solve the problem of credit card fraud or dismiss any significant burdens placed on merchants, it was a hard pill to swallow. However, it did highlight the complex considerations when managing risk. The payment brands had essentially shifted their liability. They ensured that security concepts were primarily shouldered by those who managed the transaction touchpoints rather than focusing on the payment cards themselves. This approach, while self-serving, did maintain revenue agility for the merchants and the banks without having to take on the colossal task of overhauling their entire infrastructure or re-educating their employees and consumers. I also want to point out that while people harp on these compliance frameworks, it's hard to downplay what an incredible security awareness campaign the PCI SSC was able to conduct through these exercises. Even my parents know to be wary of payment terminals, and they can likely even spot a skimmer. They also understand what to look for when making transactions online and what could be potentially problematic. Now, framework controls aside, through security awareness alone, I would say that the card brands have likely prevented more widespread fraud. And yes, compliance is not security, and the trend is definitely still moving up and to the right. But again, I would argue that if the card brands alone were responsible for the burden of preventing the fraud, consumers, merchants, and their banks would likely file those concerns under Not My Problem, which would definitely lead to more widespread losses. So, while we're not all singing Kumbaya and the vibe absolutely isn't we're all in this together, I think this scenario is a powerful lesson in risk mitigation amidst messy realities. It's a reminder that in GRC, this is all about finding a balance between ideal security measures and practical, implementable solutions, and this is more often an art than a science. As we wrap up today's episode, remember that in the world of GRC, it is filled with compromises and negotiations. Our challenge is to navigate those waters with both skepticism and an understanding that we are aiming to protect our assets and information in the most effective way possible. Until next time, this is something to consider.